again. Who's had a good weekend? Who's enjoyed the weather? Wasn't yesterday absolutely fabulous? Yeah, I went cycling and had a fantastic time and didn't even get sunburnt, so that was brilliant. Who was on the ski day? Who was on the Energizer ski day? So was that brilliant, was it? Yeah, you had a fantastic day for that. We've been doing a series at the moment, and the series has been called Going to the Other Side. And I've shared with people before, it's not sort of some weird thing, some spooky woo-woo-woo about the other side. It's actually about deciding that you're going to the other side of some of the challenges, some of the storms, some of the things that come our way in life. And if you like, this morning is a transition message. It is the end of this series, and we're sort of going into a new one. So you guys can all be part of this big segue here this morning as we transition from one series into a new one. And this morning is called The Other Side Because. The Other Side Because. And what the theme sort of going to the other side has been found in Luke 8:22. And it says, one day Jesus said to his disciples, let's go over to the other side of the lake. So they got in the boat and left. So let me set the scene for you here. We've got Jesus beside a lake, and he's got... Actually, I'll just stop here right now because I was asked to say something and I forgot. If on the way in through the door, if you didn't find out, we've actually got a kids program happening. And so if you see one of the ushers, if you see Stewie or Jules down the back there, the most handsome people in black T-shirts, they will help you find the kids' church area. So if you need to do that, make sure that's great. That's cool. Anyway, back to where we were. So here's the scene. We've got Jesus, and he's been teaching, he's been preaching all day. He's on the side of a lake, and they get to the end of the day, it would appear, and he says to his disciples, he says, let's go to the other side. Let's go to the other side of the lake. And he says, we're going across the lake. He doesn't actually say, we're actually going to go on a sunset tour around the lake, and we're going to stop in the middle for a while, and we're going to drop a line, and we're going to watch the sun go down, and then we're going to come back in. Who's actually been on those sort of tours in a boat at night? It's just very beautiful, isn't it? Where you can go out in the quiet of the night, and you can drop a line over, and you can watch the sunset. I've done that lots of times, and it's brilliant. But Jesus wasn't talking about that. He actually said, we are leaving this side of the lake, and we are going to the other side. We're going right across to the other side. And so basically what he's saying is we're not going to stop here, we're going to go across. And so the other side has been all about getting through challenges, getting through things that happen. And what happened on this trip is the disciples and Jesus found themselves in this massive storm halfway across the lake. And all these things start to happen, and they start to get freaked out. They start to be filled with fear. They start to think that they're going to sink. They start to think that they're going to die. And this is all going on. And it might be like your life at the moment. There might be challenges that are going on in your world at the moment. You might be facing things at the moment. And I love what Psalm 23 actually says in verse 4. It says, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid. You are close beside me. And what this verse is talking about, it's actually talking about walking through challenges. It's actually talking about walking through disappointment. It's talking about walking through loss. It's about walking through a marriage breakup. It's about walking through a health challenge. It's about walking through a financial challenge. It's about walking through a storm. It's about walking through a dark valley. Now, are valleys deep at times? Yes, they are. That's the nature of a valley. A valley is often a deep place. Are they dark at times? Yes. A valley is actually shielded from the light, and they can be deep, dark places, and they're not a lot of fun to be. But here's the good news. Here's the great news. You don't have to set up a tent. You don't actually have to park your life. You don't actually have to set up camp in the middle of the valley. You don't have to stop at that place. Because the powerful thing about this psalm is sometimes we read it and we think, isn't it cool, you know? You know, Jesus said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He helps me to lie down in green pastures. And it just seems all very wonderful and very nice. And then it says, even when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. In other words, there is something hanging over your life. It hasn't got you yet. You haven't gone, but there's something hanging over you. And it's actually saying, even though I walk through it, I don't stop there. I don't set up camp there. I don't set my tent up. I don't put my pegs down and say, this is where we are. Have you ever met somebody that has chosen to stop in a certain period of time? You know, some people do it with fashion, don't they? You know, they grew up in the 60s, or they grew up in the 70s, and they grew up in the 80s, and you know, that really worked for them. You know, they were Mr. Disco King. You know, they had the tight disco pants and the bright shirts and all that, and you meet them and here they are at 55 and they're still walking around like Mr. Disco, and because it worked for them then, but for somehow they parked themselves in that spot and they're still there. And we can laugh about those things, and don't look around too carefully this morning. No, actually, you guys look good. You look really good. but sometimes you see it probably even more significant than that. You see it where a person has been through a challenge, they've been through a trial, they've been through something, and they've actually been parked or stopped in that situation. It might be emotionally. Sometimes you actually meet somebody and they've been through a trauma, perhaps as a young person, and a part of their emotional development is almost stunted at that place. You know, they might be 55, but perhaps part of their emotional response is like somebody who's 15 and actually goes back to when something really significant happened in their world and they got stuck there. And that's horrible for people that happens to. But you see, what the Bible is saying, it says, even though we walk through the valley of shadow of death, we don't actually have to stop there. We don't have to park ourselves. We don't have to camp in that place. We can actually walk through. We can get to the other side, and we can decide that we're going to go through. It says, you walk through, listen to this, because Jesus says, you don't need to be afraid because he's right with you. Have you found as a kid, you know, when you walk through a scary place, that it was a lot less scary with somebody else? Unless they were somebody that was revving you up and telling you how bad it was and making you extra scared. But mostly it's not so scary when you've got somebody with you. You can walk through because he's beside you. When it feels just too flaming hard, it says Jesus will be your strength. When it just feels like it's too hard to go on. And when you feel like you're emotionally spent, Jesus says, my rod and my staff, they comfort you. His rod and his staff. Basically, his staff was the thing that a shepherd looked out after sheep with. A rod that represents, you know, that represents authority, that represents correction. It actually represents some discipline. Not such fun stuff, but they actually do bring comfort to us, and they actually help us to get through the circumstances. So anyway, Jesus and the disciples, they're caught in this massive storm. Jesus is asleep in the boat. The boys are freaking out, and it feels like they're going down. It feels like they're not going to make it to the other side. Jesus, you know the story. He wakes up, and he takes control. He takes authority over the storm. And then he says to the boys, he says, where was your faith? Where was your faith? And he actually reminds them that he said, we're going to the other side. He didn't mean we're going to stop halfway through and we're going to drown in a storm. He didn't say that we're going to freak out here and we're going to just sort of ponder around and perhaps go back. He actually said, we are going to the other side. And when God speaks those things into our world, we've actually got to take them as the value that he says, you're going to the other side. And the Bible is really, really clear that it says that you will make it through your problems, that you will make it through your trials, that you will make it through your storms, that you will get to the other side, that you can actually have victory during the storm. You can have victory in the middle of the battle. You can get to the other side. And Jesus actually challenged the guys, not because they were freaking out, but because they didn't actually have faith in what he'd said. They didn't have faith that they were going to get to the other side. You see, we said this a couple of weeks ago. Faith is tested when our situation becomes bigger than our skill or our experience. Our faith is tested when our situation becomes bigger than our skill or our experience. You know, faith is, the Bible talks about it as being a substance. It's like the fuel, if you like, that enables you. It's like the fuel that gets you through. And I went riding yesterday, as I've already said, and we rode 80 Ks. And before I left home, Alex sort of teased me a bit because she heard me ratting through the cupboards and I was putting, you know, I put a couple of those energy bar things in the back of my jersey and she was sort of laughing at me about the energy. She just thinks I like to eat them. And we rode up to New Norfolk and I got one of the energy bars out at New Norfolk and I ate it and as we were riding through town. And actually, I wasn't even the slightest bit hungry. I didn't feel hungry in the slightest. You'll know that often when you're exercising at that point, you don't actually feel that hungry a lot of the time. But the reason that I ate that power bar then is I realized that we were actually leaving New Norfolk and we were going to go back through Molesworth, Collinsvale and back to Hobart, and all of a sudden we had to climb up some really steep hills. And I knew that if I didn't have enough fuel, if I didn't have enough energy, that I was going to look real silly as the other guys continued to power up the hills while I was left, you know, somewhere down the bottom. And the good thing is that it actually worked. I continued up the hills, no worries at all. But you see, faith, if you like, is like that substance. It is that fuel that will enable you to get through whatever you're doing. Jesus didn't actually challenge those guys to say, "Oh, you stupid disciples." You know, he wasn't putting them down. He was actually saying, if you want to get through the next storm, if you actually want to get through the next challenge, you're actually going to have to develop some faith in your life and you're going to need the fuel in your life to be able to get through it. And I encourage you, the Bible says that faith comes from hearing the word. It comes from hearing the word of God. If we get the word of God out and we start to get it into our lives, we start to develop faith and we start to find ourselves with enough fuel to actually get through whatever is in front of us. Faith in Jesus is the substance that will enable you to get to the other side. So why have we been talking about going to the other side? Why have we been talking about all this? I mean, maybe it's just easier to stay in the middle of the storm. Maybe it's easier to sit down and park yourself and not worry about trying to get through your challenge. Because sometimes it feels like it actually requires so much more energy and emotional capacity to get through that than what you have. And it feels like it's perhaps just easier to stay there. And sometimes we can almost find a way of putting up with the status quo, of sort of making things sort of work within the challenge and not actually getting through it. Has anybody been there with that? Like sometimes a relationship can be so awkward and it's destructive and it's not good. But it's sort of almost easier to maintain the status quo rather than dealing with the situation and going to the other side. And sometimes we can live our whole life like that. We can actually limit ourselves from what is ahead of us because we're actually happy to remain in the challenge. So why have we been talking about going to the other side? We want, as a church, to see people getting through the valleys. We want to see people getting through the challenges. The Bible says, in all things you are more than conquerors through him who loved us. In other words, you know, our desire as a church, as a leadership here, we don't want to see people just merely surviving. We actually want to see you being more than a conqueror to actually live a life of victory in the middle of the storm. And the Bible says that is completely possible and it is something that you can actually expect to do. We don't want to see you living a defeated life. You were not created to live that way. The reason that Jesus said to his boys, "We're going to the other side," is there was a reason. Did you know that there is a bigger reason for you to go to the other side, for you to get through your challenge, for you to get through your storm, for you to get through whatever it is? There is a bigger reason than whatever you're dealing with at the moment. You know that God actually has a bigger purpose than your problem? Have you thought about that? That God has a bigger purpose for your life than the problem that is in front of you at the moment. His purpose for you is bigger than whatever. Maybe you've got facing the biggest problem you've ever faced. Maybe you know, a business is going bankrupt. Maybe you're going through a marriage breakup. Maybe you're going through all sorts of stuff and you think this is just massive. Did you know that God's purpose for you is absolutely bigger than that problem? God's purpose for you is bigger than that problem. You see, Jesus took 12 other guys through a horrific storm because he needed to get to the other side because he had a reason to be on the other side. And that reason was actually bigger than the storm. The reason that he took them to the other side was bigger than the storm. And sometimes we get stuck where we are because our problem, our circumstance, our situation actually becomes bigger than the storm. It becomes bigger than what we're facing. Jesus' purpose for you is bigger than whatever you're facing right now. He wants to help you experience joy despite the circumstances, victory in the middle of a battle. In Ephesians 2, verse 10, I love this. It says, "For we are God's masterpiece. He created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we could do the good things He planned for us long ago." Every person here is a masterpiece. Have you ever, you know, I love that saying, you know, that guy, he's an artist, you know. And it's sort of like what the Bible is saying here, what Paul is saying in Ephesians is every person is actually a masterpiece of God. You're not just a print. Yesterday, Penny turned up at our house, along with a whole lot of other people that kept turning up at our house. Anyway, Penny and Pete turned up at our house, and she had given Alex for her 40th birthday, which is in 5 years, but she'd given Alex for her 40th birthday a painting. And it's especially, I think it's in memory of me, it's this galah. And and she presented it to her at the birthday, but she had to take it and put it in an exhibition and all that. Penny's an artist. And then she brought it to our house. And the thing is, that is a one-off painting. It's not a print. It's not something that she's been sort of, you know, knocking out. It's not something that she can go to her computer and press print and they all flow out. It's actually a one-off. It's a masterpiece. It's one of a kind. There'll be never one another one exactly like that, I hope. and that's exactly what God is doing in each one of us, what He's doing in your world. You are a one-off. You are a masterpiece. You are not, you're not out of a production line. You're not just another one coming out of the factory. You have been created as a masterpiece. And it says that you've been created in Christ to do the good things that He planned for you long ago. Do you know that a relationship with Jesus unlocks a whole world of opportunity for you? A relationship with Jesus unlocks a whole world of opportunity for you. The Jamison, Fawcett and Brown Bible commentary, it says this. It says, "God makes ready by His providence the opportunities for the works, and He makes us ready for their performance." That's what it's saying about that verse. That God makes us through His providence the opportunities for the works, and He makes us ready for their performance. See, the work that Jesus is doing in you will unlock an opportunity, and it will prepare you to perform in that opportunity. It's quite amazing, isn't it? In other words, a relationship with Jesus actually gives you what it takes to meet the challenges, to meet the opportunities, to meet the things that are in front of you. And I started to think about this word performance, and you wouldn't have to know me very well to know that my mind went straight to performance motor vehicles. And I started to think about that. And I thought, well, I've been lucky enough or silly enough or whatever it is to have a few vehicles over the years that might be classed as performance vehicles. And the thing about a performance motor vehicle is they are actually designed or they're modified or whatever so that they can actually perform at a higher level than the other cars on the road. And, you know, they've been designed so that they've got more power, so that they can stop quicker, they can go around corners faster, they can handle better, and all those things so they can actually perform at a higher level. And after driving from time to time performance cars and owning those things, every now and again I would get in a car that was certainly not a performance car. And I can think about some of those. My sister, my dad's here this morning, and dad made this wise choice, and he bought her a three-cylinder Daihatsu Charade. Now, a three-cylinder Daihatsu Charade is not a performance vehicle. They are very, very pedestrian. And I remember the first car that I bought for Alex, and Alex was actually more about how things look and how they felt than she was about how fast they went and all that. So the first car that we bought her was this 1966 model Mitsubishi Colt. Now there weren't many of them around, and it was a little square sort of boxy car, and she absolutely loved it. But it was not a performance vehicle at all. You know, you see, when you drive a performance vehicle, you see an opportunity. In other words, you see a gap in the traffic. And you can actually change back a gear, or you don't even have to change back a gear if you've got a Ford, and you can just put your foot down, and you can actually find yourself going from where you are into the gap into that opportunity that is in front of you. Now, if you've driven a car that is not a performance vehicle, like a 66 Mitsubishi Colt or a Daihatsu Charade, it doesn't matter how many gears you change back and how hard you put your foot down, you're not going to find yourself up in that gap for that opportunity that is actually in front of you. Because that car was not built to take opportunities. That car was built just to get you from point A to point B in as boring a way as totally possible. In other words, just get you there. You weren't meant to enjoy the experience. You weren't meant to have any adrenaline. You weren't meant to experience performance. That's what they were designed for. You know, one of the most frustrating things is seeing opportunities and not being able to take them. After driving a car that actually has a bit of what we used to call grunt, driving a car like that, being able to actually take up the opportunity, and actually I'm looking at some fast drivers in our church, and being able to take up that opportunity and actually go into those places, it is very frustrating to actually drive something that is not capable of taking up that opportunity. And did you know that sometimes in life it is very frustrating when you see opportunity, when you see things that need to be done, you see people that need to be helped, you see things that need to be happen, and you're not in a position to take up that opportunity. Has anybody been there? Anybody been there? You might see a family that needs incredible help, and you feel, well, I would help them, but I am just so stuck in my own problems, I'm stuck in my own circumstances, I'm stuck in my own situation, that I cannot get from where I am to help them, and maybe you can't. But there is a frustration about not being able to get to where you need to go to help somebody. Or we've travelled overseas numerous times and we've seen extreme poverty and we've been able to perhaps at times make a small difference to some of it. But we haven't been able to do everything. We haven't been able to take up the whole opportunity, but we've taken up some of the opportunity with the capacity that we've got. You see, Jesus wants you to get to the other side because you are being prepared to perform. You actually, that sounds a bit up there, doesn't it? You know, I've heard people say, oh, church is not about performance and all that. Well, the Bible actually says that you're being prepared to perform, that you're being prepared to make a difference. You're being prepared to actually live at such a level where you can make a difference to other people's life. I mean, God is not designing Daihatsu Charades. He's not designing 1966 model Colts. He's not designing things that haven't got enough power to do what they're called to do. He's actually designing people that have actually got enough capacity, they've got enough of power, they've got enough of what it takes to actually perform, to actually be able to make a difference in people's lives. If you are stuck in your own problems, if you're stuck in your own circumstances, if you're stuck in your own storm, who's going to want to listen to you? But if you're able to come through that storm, and it's not even a case of getting to the other side sometimes, it's actually just starting to get moving, where you can actually use what's been given to you to realize that you have been made to be able to perform, to be able to make a difference to somebody else's world. So why should we go to the other side? Why should we decide to persevere? Number one, you go to the other side because you are ready to perform. Go to the other side because you're ready to perform. In other words, you're ready to make a difference in somebody else's life. Because you are a masterpiece. You've been created anew in Christ Jesus so that you can do the good things He planned for you long ago. It's a bit like, this is the last bit on the car analogy, but it's a bit like a car that is designed to drive around a specific sort of racetrack. You know, if you want to drive on a rally track, well, you don't want an F1. If you took an F1 car on a rally track, you'd only get around the first corner because it just wouldn't work. There's no ground clearance, all those things. But you see, you've actually been designed especially for the opportunities that are going to be in front of you. And you are designed to be able to perform in those circumstances. So I want to encourage you. Sometimes you look around and you think, oh, this person, they can do that, and someone else can sing, and somebody else is good in business, and you know me, oh, well, I just look after kids. You know, you actually have been designed to perform in the opportunities that are actually in front of you. And you don't have to compare yourself with other people. You just got to decide that God is placing opportunities in front of me. I'm going to get through my storm and I am going to perform in the opportunities that are in front of me. So why should we go to the other side? Why should we choose to persevere? Number two is you go to the other side because you can bring a solution. See, Jesus went to the other side because he could bring a solution. We can do that. We can bring solutions. We can bring light and we can bring hope. See, Jesus in you is the hope of the world. See, Jesus knew that he had the power of God residing inside him to actually reach somebody that was on the other side. And when Jesus turned up at the other side, it was very interesting. It says that he gets to the other side and he gets to a place, and it's called the Gerasenes. And there's this guy that turns up as he's getting out of the boat. And this guy was an absolute madman. This guy was off his trolley. This guy couldn't be contained. We're actually told in the Bible that they would chain him down, that they would do everything that they could to contain him. They would lock him up. It didn't matter what they did, and he would break the chains. He had so much strength and power that society tried to lock him away. Society tried to put him in a cemetery. Society tried to put him in a place where there was no hope, there was no future. It was all about the past. It was about death, and society tried to contain him in that place. But there was something in him that wouldn't be contained. So Jesus knew this guy was on the other side of the lake. He knew this guy needed help. He knew this guy needed to be set free. He knew this guy needed to have a future. So Jesus goes to the other side of the lake to reach this guy. And it says this. It says in Luke 8, 26 and 27, it says, "So they arrived at the region across the lake of Galilee. As Jesus was climbing out of the boat, a man who was possessed by demons came to meet him. For a long time he'd been homeless, he'd been naked, and he'd been living in a cemetery." Jesus went to the other side because he knew he had something that could change his life. Something that could see this tormented man set free. Jesus actually endured a storm. Jesus took 12 other guys through the middle of a storm because he knew that a tortured man on the other side of the lake needed to be given a hope, needed to be given a future, and needed to be set free. Jesus endured a storm because that man needed to be given life. Isn't that absolutely incredible? Isn't that incredible? You see, Sam preached a fantastic message here while we were in Africa. And why don't you go to the website like I did and get it on your iPod or whatever device you use and listen to it. Because it was a very timely, I believe, now word for the church. And he mentioned that we dream of having to find solutions to problems. You see, Jesus went to the other side because he knew that he could be the solution to this guy's problem. And we want to be able to find solutions to the fact that this place is overflowing. We want to be able to find solutions to the fact that we need to run more services, that we need to have more chairs out, that we need to redevelop this venue or find a new one or whatever it is. We want to find solutions to those problems because we've filled this place with people, but when we fill this place with people, we know that they are experiencing the love of God and they're being set free. And like this guy whose society had locked away and wanted to keep him in a cemetery, that actually came to a place and he found life, he found hope, and he found a future because somebody was willing to go past their problem, someone was willing to go through the storm, someone was willing to go to the other side and reach somebody that needed reaching. And Sam talked about the fact that he mentioned that the parable that talks about the kingdom of heaven is like a fishing net. And it says every kind of fish were caught. And it's what it's talking about is the fact that our responsibility isn't to decide which people actually need to be reached by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Sometimes we think, oh yeah, has anyone heard this said? If you're not been in church, you wouldn't have heard this. But some people say, oh, that person was just so fantastic. You know, they would make an absolutely wonderful Christian. That's stupid. Everybody would make an absolutely wonderful Christian. The worst of the worst would make a wonderful Christian. That is what it's all about. Because the further you are from God, the more grace you actually experience of God bringing you back, the more that your life is absolutely transformed. And what that parable that Sam was talking about was saying is actually the kingdom of God is like a fishing net. In other words, we are to go and take this message, we're to go and perform because God is creating us to be able to reach people. You know, a fishing net is indiscriminate, isn't it? If you go beach netting, you take the net out and you drag it in, and we used to do that at Moreland's Beach in Devonport, and we'd hope to catch flathead and we'd hope to catch salmon, and if we're real lucky, a flounder. But you know what, we mainly in the bottom of the net, there'd be all these puffer fish, you know, and you couldn't eat them, and they'd be blown up. And anyway, we used to take them and throw them back into the ocean. But you see, the thing is, it's actually not our responsibility to go and work out who's going to be a nice Christian, who would actually make our church nice. It's actually our responsibility to take a message to everybody that actually needs to hear that message. And that's why Jesus described the kingdom of God as like a fishing net. In other words, it's indiscriminate. It's not working out who'll be the nice Christians. It's working out the fact there's a whole lot of people out there that need to hear it. And it says it's actually God's going to sort that stuff out. It's not actually our responsibility to do that. So Jesus turns up. This guy who had been locked in a cemetery, who was completely tormented by what the Bible calls a legion of demons. In other words, this guy was tormented with thousands of demons. And his life was just living in total torment. And he'd been shunned and locked out of society. They'd tried to chain him up. They'd tried to control him. And Jesus goes across the lake and he meets him. And straight away, we're told that Jesus cast the demons out of him. And instantly, that guy's life is transformed. Instantly, he's set free. Instantly, his life changes. Instantly, he's given hope. Instantly, he's being given dignity. And imagine the change that happened to this guy and in and around his world. And he's about ready to go. Well, Jesus is about ready to go back across the lake because he couldn't stay there. And after a whole lot of dramas that had gone on in the town, there was a herd of pigs that ran down the bank and people that actually came to Jesus and said, look, we don't want you to stay here. This is just too powerful for us. This is scaring us. So don't be surprised sometimes when you take a message of hope that it's not always received as well as you might think. You can do great things. You can see God move in amazing ways and actually improve the quality of somebody's life. And people can still react in a negative way against that. So don't be freaked out. That happened to Jesus. And so Jesus is getting in the boat and he's about to go. And the guy is sitting there and he's fully clothed. And the Bible said he's sane, he's in his right mind. He'd gone from this guy that was completely tormented, that couldn't be sane, and he's sitting there, he's fully clothed, he's clean shaven, and he's sitting there with dignity, and he comes up and he says to Jesus, can I come with you? Now, wouldn't it have been fantastic for Jesus to take him with him? Because people knew about this guy. He could have taken him wherever he went. He could have been a living, walking, talking testimony. You know, he could have been talking about how his life used to be and how, you know, how he was traumatized by demons and how he perhaps abused himself with substances and all this stuff that actually went on in his world. And he could have said, well, I had an encounter with Jesus and I've been set free and my life has changed. And you know, people would have been coming to Jesus and it would have been absolutely all wonderful. And Jesus said, no. He said, I want you to go back to your family. He said, I want you to go back to where you live. I want you to go back to where you've come from, and I want you to start to tell them what has happened. The third thing is the band join me. Go to the other side because you can proclaim the great things that Jesus has done for you. Number three, go to the other side because you can proclaim the great things that Jesus has done with you. See, if you remain defeated, if you remain overcome by challenges, you're not in a position to be able to proclaim what Jesus has done for you. There is nothing more powerful than your story. Imagine the legacy of this guy. Imagine this guy who had all the demons cast out of him. Imagine him 30 years on. Imagine him sitting down with his grandkids. And he's got these kids on his knee and they're looking They're looking into his rugged but compassionate eyes. And he starts to tell them what happened through an encounter with Jesus. He starts to tell them, hey, you wouldn't believe what my life used to be like. You wouldn't believe that I was very rarely clothed, that I couldn't think straight, that everybody in town shunned me, that people were scared of me, that they would push me away from society, they would try and lock me up, they would push me out. And I seemed, I had no hope, I didn't know what to do. I lived in total torment. And then I met Jesus. And in a moment, encounter with Jesus, my whole life changed. I was given back hope, I was given freedom, I was given dignity, I was given a future, I was given a family, I was given a life. This guy had no life, and an encounter with Jesus, he was given a life. That was his story. What's yours? That was his story. What's your story? You see, you need to go to the other side because you've got a story to tell. You've got something that can actually change somebody's life. You've got something that can make such a difference. Jesus went to the other side to change the future, to bring a solution to a man who through his story changed his family and changed the whole region. Will you go to the other side? Will you decide to go to the other side? Will you decide that you're actually going to go past your problem at the moment? That you're going to go past the other side? Did you know that Hobart needs other side people? Hobart needs other side Christians. Hobart needs people that are actually prepared to go past their problems, people that are prepared to go past their challenges, people that are not going to be so constrained by the things that actually happen to them that they stop them from going to where people need to hear a message that will change their lives. Do you know the thing that I believe in the 21st century can become, I reckon, the most insipid, hideous thing that I see in and around the church? I'm not talking about individual churches, I'm just talking about an atmosphere and a spirit, is that we're actually contained and we're constrained by our stuff, by our challenges, by our storms, by our things, that we never go past them and we never go to the other side to reach people like this guy, Legion. We're not told what his name was, but we had a legion of demons inside him. And there are people like that lining the streets of Hobart. There are people like that that are in your workplace. There are people like that everywhere that you go. And you're not called to actually be to be that discriminant about that. You're actually called to go and share your story wherever you go. You're actually called to be able to talk to people and say what God has done in you, because your story is powerful. Your story can bring about change. Your story of how you went through the storm is what is going to bring about change. Jesus went to the other side. Will you? Will you go to the other side? Jesus left heaven. Jesus left a place of amazing comfort. Jesus left a place where he was and still is the King of the universe. Jesus actually left that and he came and he subjected himself to the most humility that humanity could actually put on him. He subjected himself to pain. He subjected himself to torture. He subjected himself to amazing storms. He went to the other side. He went to the other side for people in this place this morning. He went to the other side for people across our city. He went to the other side for every single one of us here. He went to the other side so that we can actually be the people who endure the storms. We can be the people that actually live for a purpose that is bigger than whatever challenge is in front of us, that is bigger than whatever we're facing right now, that is bigger than anything that we would deal with. Would you go to the other side? Would you decide that you're going to be the other side type Christian? You're going to be the other side type person. Just as I finish here this morning, maybe you've never never had any sort of connection at all with Jesus. Maybe you've thought about it from time to time. You've thought about the fact that there's a God that he's up there somewhere, and you've sort of felt some sort of connection to him occasionally. But have you actually thought about the fact that he understands you, that he has prepared in advance amazing opportunities for your life, that he has got all sorts of things that are waiting for you, and he actually just wants you to be prepared, he wants you to be ready, he wants you to be able to take up those opportunities, to be able to do all the things that he's got in front of you. You know, that actually just starts, that starts by having a connection with Jesus. That guy on the other side of the lake, the guy that was struggling with life, the guy that had been shunned from society, he had so many challenges. But one encounter with Jesus just changed his life. This morning, would you like to meet Jesus? Would you like that one encounter with Jesus? And that actually just starts with us changing inside, with us saying, Jesus, I want you in my world. I want you to come into my life, and I want you to connect me with God in heaven. And this morning, if you would believe that with everything that you've got, if you would believe that Jesus went to the other side for you, that he came from heaven, that he actually came to this world because he's got so many good things for you, that he has got a future for you, that he has prepared all sorts of amazing opportunities for you, that he's going to be your strength, that he's going to help you through any trial, any challenge that you might go through. He's not going to necessarily make them go away, but he's going to give you the strength to go through them. That he understands where you've been, he understands your darkest day, he understands your worst hour, but he also sees an incredible future for you. We just bow our heads, close our eyes just for a moment. If you'd like to have that connection and that relationship with Jesus, and you know that you don't have it, you know that you're not close to him right now, it actually starts with you just softening your heart and saying, Jesus, I thank you that you're the Son of God. I thank you that you came and died for me, and I'm making a choice here this morning to allow you to come into my life, to allow you to connect me with God in heaven. I thank you that you died on the cross for me. I thank you that your blood has covered all my sin, has dealt with all my rubbish, has dealt with all the things that I find so hard to even think about, things that I'm embarrassed about. Jesus dealt with those on the cross. And I'm going to follow you for the rest of my life. I'm going to be one of those other side people. If that's you this morning, if you'd like to do that, if you'd like to say, Jesus, come into my world, just while heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one's looking around, why don't you give me a wave and allow me to lead you in a prayer. Allow me to lead you in a prayer that will connect you with God, that will allow you to be an other side sort of person. If that's you, just slip your hand up quickly now while no one's looking around. Say, hey, Dave, that's me. I'd like to make that call this morning. I'd like to invite Jesus into my world. If that's you, just give me a wave. So that's me. I'd like to do that. Maybe there are people here too, and you've prayed a prayer like that once, but you know right now you're not close to God, and you'd like to be. You'd like Jesus just to be there afresh with you this morning. If that's you, just give me a wave. Say, hey, Dave, that's me. I'd love to reconnect with Jesus this morning. If that's you, just give me a wave. So that's me. Praise God. Okay, why don't we stand up? Let me pray for you. Let me pray for you as we finish. You know, the exciting thing is I know there are people here that are those other side sort of people. People that have been through incredible challenges, that have walked through storms, and people that are committed to walking through the next one, people that are committed to going to the other side, people that are committed to reaching people that need to be reached. And there might be others here and you're feeling like, yeah, I'd like to be that, I'd like to do that, but it's just, I don't know what to do. I don't know where to start. Just let me pray for you. I just believe that the Spirit of God wants to touch people here this morning, and he wants to raise up into a generation of other side people. Lord Jesus, I thank you right now in Jesus' name, in your name, that you went to the other side, that you took your disciples across a lake to reach one man who changed a future, who changed a community, who changed a family. Lord, I pray for people across this place this morning that want to be other side people, that want to be able to go through their storms, that want to be able to go through their problems, that want to be able to go through their challenges to reach people that need to be reached. Lord, we choose to realize that you've created us for something that's bigger than whatever challenges in front of us, that's bigger than whatever we're facing right now in Jesus' name. And we choose to put those things aside and be the other side people. This week, Lord, help us to take up the opportunities. Know that you've prepared us for whatever it takes, that you've enabled us to perform in those situations.